Muddy Knees Media.
Hello and welcome to the Offside Rule. We are carrying on, that's the good news, to give you something entertaining in these football-less days. I'm Kate Borsay, coming to you from London. Over in leafy Surrey, it's a warm welcome to Lindsay Hooper.
Hello, I can see a robin in my garden.
Goodness, hold that
First thought. Time doing a podcast where I'm watching the wildlife at the same time.
And to complete the trio in North London, it's stadium announcer, not at the moment though, sadly, she of Five Live and many more stables, it's Emma Saunders. Emma, hello.
Hello. Do you know what? That's not a bad idea. I might open my trap window and just start announcing people walking up and down the street.
I would absolutely love you to do that, to make everyone a football player and to give them all some form, all some record as they walk past your window.
Well, we've seen games, haven't we, out of windows in Italy and operas being sung. We need something.
We do.
Maybe this can be it.
Okay, ladies. Well, if London doesn't go into complete lockdown, then I'll see if I can get something organised.
Yes, please. Now, tell us, both of you, Lindsay, you're looking at a robin. Just tell us where you are and what's surrounding you at the moment, just so we can all get a picture of where we all are.
People know that I now have a bungalow. I renovated a bungalow, not personally, I got builders in at the end of last year. So I now have an open plan kitchen and dining room, and I'm sat in there looking out of my new patio doors, French doors. There's a bit of a wet garden outside. We haven't got round to the garden, so that still looks a little bit of a mess, to be honest. But robins still enjoy it, so no complaints here.
And Emma, what are you surrounded by?
Well, I'd love to say my place is as open plan as Lindsay's, but it's quite the opposite, unfortunately. I do live in a lovely sort of North London terraced house, but my flatmate is unfortunately starting to feel a bit under the weather. So I'm very much having to self-isolate away from her. So I'm up in my room recording a podcast on the end of my bed for the first time. But the view out the window is gorgeous. I live right next to Hampstead Heath. So,
very nice.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse.
Have you got any football posters on your bedroom wall, Emma?
I actually have the team sheet from the 1,000th men's England international against Montenegro. So Trent Alexander-Arnold is actually right next to my bedside, which is very strange when you say it out loud.
Yes.
But yes.
Fantastic. Well, I'm sat in Southeast London. My kids are still at school. We're recording this on a Thursday. I am very nervous about the prospect of having two children around me full time. So next week's podcast could be interesting. But I'm sat looking at my garden. I'm in my living room right now. All is peaceful and calm, and I feel like this is precious time right now before
Absolutely.
Bedlam. And can I ask how you're both doing as well? Because you're both freelancers, as I am too, and these are quite tough times, aren't they, basically?
Yeah, I think the craziest thing is just how fast this is all happening. I am contracted to 2 days a week at BBC. Everything outside of that is freelance. So a vast amount of my work has disappeared for the foreseeable future. But when I was in at the BBC end of last week, we were speculating about what might happen next. So this is just before we found out about Mikel Arteta, the Arsenal manager, testing positive for the virus. So it must have been last Thursday, a week ago now. And we were sitting there saying, well, you know, this weekend we might be played out as usual, but next weekend I imagine could be behind closed doors. And then of course we've got the international break for things to perhaps calm down a bit. And in hindsight, I just think it, you know, it's quite incredible how naive we were. But also I guess we didn't have the knowledge then as well about just how serious this might be. So since then, life has pretty much just been rotating between watching series, going out for walks and getting on with a bit of life admin, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Lindsay, how are you staying sane?
Well, I'm going to start by mentioning the fact that football isn't happening right now, Kate, because many of us who love the sport will be feeling down by the fact that we don't get to watch it every week, that we don't know when that's going to return. The Euros have been postponed for a year. There's lots of different knock-on effects, but of course that all pales into insignificance. And the reason why we talk about football as an industry rather than the actual spectacle of watching it is because of the amount of people who are on 0 hours contracts that work as match day staff, for instance. you can talk about admin people at football clubs, all the way through to the higher echelons of the game that aren't supported right now. And the three of us are suffering in that respect. From my point of view, I don't have any fixed work at the moment. I do have a contract with the Premier League, which I'm hopeful that I will get something, but it will be much considerably less than what I would usually be earning. And the problem, I think, for all of us right now is just not knowing how long we can sit down and we can try and budget and we can try and get through.
Yeah.
But are we talking weeks or are we talking months? And potentially, I've heard people on the news talking about points of next year and it potentially being 9 to 12 months before we're clear of this. And I think that's where it gets really difficult. But there are lots of people really coming together, trying to help each other out. I know for any freelancers that work in the sports industry, there's a like hotline dedicated on HMRC. If you want to ask about that, there's talk about frozen mortgages for 3 months. And there's lots of bodies of work being done to try and help people. So just keep across that. That would be my biggest bit of advice at the moment.
Yeah, and do check out Twitter as well, where, you know, people are reminding other people what they do. There's various stuff that we can do from home, and there is support from the Football Writers Association and many others as well. But yeah, just from us sending our best out to all our colleagues as well as we try and make it through. And it's so hard to say how long it's going to go on for, isn't it? But we will carry on podcasting. That's the great news. We're supported by Football Manager. And of course, there are a whole load of people playing Football Manager at the moment. And they've had some good news to release as well. I know, Lindsay, you spotted this and I went on to have a look. And that's that they're allowing Football Manager 2020 to be played completely free of charge on Steam until 3 o'clock on March the 25th. That's for PC and Mac. So if you're out there and you're feeling a bit infuriated, maybe you're self-isolating, it's a good excuse to try Football Manager. And our thanks to them for supporting us during this time. The sport may not be on, but we are switched on and we're happy to share all of our experiences, tell you how we get through this period, what happens to sports people when there is no sport, and sharing that with you listening. Just a quick footnote as well, Lindsay, mentioned the news that Euro 2020 has been put back a year.
The biggest discussion about it all at the moment is whether the season gets concluded at all. And that is the priority at the moment. UEFA have come out and said that they want all domestic club competitions to be fulfilled by the 30th of June. So that is the remit at the moment that the likes of the Premier League, the EFL are having to try and work to, and domestic leagues around Europe. So fingers crossed that this awful virus clears enough that we can start picking up some more normality again. And I say that on behalf of all of society, who I'm sure need a break, especially the NHS workers who are getting some great incentives at the moment to get free coffees and 50% off food. And rightly so, you know, they need the support right now, especially those self-isolating.
All right, well, coming up, there is a limited number of things that we can all do in isolation. One thing, though, is Monopoly. So randomly, that is the theme on today's podcast. We're talking community chess, how football has been keeping themselves entertained while stuck at home. We've sent our spies in for this. We've just been looking at Instagram instead. But anyway, we shall share the best of what we've found. And we'll be looking at some of the times clubs or managers or players have taken a chance in football, perhaps returning to a league, perhaps returning to a club. And we'll find out if all was well with them and they were able to carry on as before. That's us, by the way, hoping that at some point during this coronavirus outbreak, we can carry on as before. Just a reminder, too, that you can listen to us on Jack Radio every Friday from 4 o'clock. So stick with us. All right, well, let's get stuck into topic one. Pass go and do not collect £200. This really inspired by football and society going through, well, we know, don't we? It's the greatest upheaval since World War II. So we've decided to have a look at some other times in football where there's been a big change, maybe an upheaval or maybe a big shift in direction. Emma, I'm going to go to you first for this one.
Well, I'm actually going to start very, very recently as the start of this season. And that has to be the introduction of VAR to the Premier League. I mean, it's already caused its fair share of disturbance, I suppose we can call it. I present the Sunday version of the Five Live Football Daily podcast, and we have not had a weekend where we haven't sat there and combed through a particular decision and debated why it might be wrong, it might be right. And, you know, there's teams that have missed out on vital points due to this technology, not always getting things correct. And I guess, yeah, due to this latest disruption, we might not see exactly what kind of impact those decisions will have, as we're still not sure how the league's going to play out. But yeah, I just think VAR has been a huge, huge change that is coming to football this season.
And actually, you know, depending on what happens with the rest of the season, if you were to take the season up until now, someone's going to have worked out, aren't they, exactly how people would be differently placed if it wasn't for VAR.
I know.
Someone's going to have that table ready, aren't they?
Well, you say someone, speaking as a Watford fan, who have been in the lower echelons of the table throughout the season, and yes, on the end of some incorrect VAR decisions, I'm one of those people, Kate.
And just before VAR as well, you shouldn't ignore goal line technology too, because the introduction of that first, and maybe they should have just left it there.
Absolutely. Well, there are loads of moments that we can choose from. And I was debating about whether to do the Bosman ruling, where players can move for free at the end of their contract without their old club receiving a fee. The FA allowing women to play again after 50 years on proper FA pitches. But I'm reminded of listening into Rory Smith, and I forget what programme he was on, but this has just stuck with me. And he reported this in the Telegraph at the time. So I'm going to take you back to 2011 and Liverpool's FA Cup third round defeat to Manchester United. It was Kenny Dalglish's first game back in charge of Liverpool after Roy Hodgson had been sacked. United went ahead through a Ryan Giggs penalty. Steven Gerrard got sent off. So there was loads of animosity. The decisions by the ref, Howard Webb, led Ryan Barbal to tweet a picture of Webb in a United shirt with the caption, "And they call him one of the best referees. That's a joke." Now, this tweet meant that Ryan Barbal became the first professional footballer to be fined by the FA for an offensive tweet or a derogatory tweet. He was fined £10,000. And as Rory Smith has pointed out, that was an absolutely pivotal moment, because how many fines have there been then? And that was the very start, I guess, of social media really becoming a huge part of the game.
Yeah, I'm just going to go a bit further back than that one, Kate, for the back pass rule. Which was introduced in 1992. It changed the way that teams were trying to keep hold of the ball. It's been a blessing for managers like Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp, you'd say, with how Liverpool have been playing recently, because playing out of defence now is more difficult, and it certainly favours attackers. It prohibits goalkeepers from catching a ball directly from a throw-in, if anyone's forgotten about that part of the rule. And also it stops them from collecting the ball in their hands from a pass from a teammate. And I think that really did change the way that the game had been more attacking. You see more goals. But given what Emma said at the start of this about VAR, we're sort of going back on that a little bit now, with the advantage not so much in the favour of attacking players.
Yeah, and there have been so many changes to the offside rule as well. Talking of 1992 and your back pass rule, that of course was the start of the Premier League, wasn't it? And how much of a big shift, all on the back of Sky TV and football rights and everything else. And what a huge gear change in terms of the financial side of the league and sort of making it one to be rivaled throughout the world.
Yeah, if you're looking at the plot of time in history, I think you'd have to locate 1990 just before that happening, when Sky TV launched as a channel on the 2nd of November, because the money changed from rights being acquired, with Sky TV being the main player there, and they have been consistently throughout. Many people might have forgotten that originally they were in to get the rights with ITV as a joint bid, but that didn't go ahead. First of all, they ended up teaming up with the BBC. But yeah, the way that the rights have gone, and now we could be actually looking at a new dawn in terms of the way that Prime Video came in. We might be seeing a Netflix of football, as people are talking about it going forwards too. So interesting times ahead.
Lindsay, you were involved with that, weren't you? You were part of the Amazon coverage. Speaking from experience and being on the front line of it, can you really see it taking off now going forward?
Yeah, I think they proved that the technology really did work. It was fantastic. I mean, that's how everybody would love to watch football, is to be able to watch multiple games at one time. And the goal show in particular, you were just getting everything that was happening in terms of when it did straight away by signing up for that service. So I think it will really appeal to majority of fans now. I don't think we're in a time where, unless you're in the stadium, people actually want to sit down and watch the whole 90 minutes anymore. There are certain games in time and recent times that you would be kicking yourself if you'd missed a minute. I'm thinking of recent Champions League encounters with Spurs and Liverpool. But apart from that, there's some dire nil-nils that you'd just like to be able to dip in for the main chances as they happen, or goals as they go in if it's a 1-0. So I think it really has got its place in the way that football's going to move going forwards.
And I actually like the fact that you know, Amazon have been using really experienced commentators and presenters too. You know, there are a couple of faces there that we haven't seen a lot of in recent years, and that's always nice to see. Quick straw poll to both of you, because you know I'm a Liverpool fan, and of all the seasons to have now, of course, coronavirus is much bigger than football, okay? But if we just zone in on the Premier League title, of all the seasons for Liverpool to do what they've done, it happens to be in a season that's been suspended. If we had to stop the season here, so if the league wasn't able to return towards the summer, and Liverpool were top of the table but with a star against their name, an asterisk, would they still have rightly won the league, in your opinion?
I would say so, yes. I think there is this sort of mutual understanding and respect for what Liverpool have done this season. And the fact they are so far out in front, they were, what, two games? They could have sealed it, in fact, yeah, the weekend just gone if results had gone their way. I do think there is this understanding that they are effectively champions. I have to say, Kate, it's not that I don't have sympathy for you, but it's Leeds fans that I'm really, really feeling for. And I suppose West Brom in that same bracket, in that you can sit there and say, yes, they were the top one or two teams in the championship, but their status as a championship side won't change. And that is heartbreaking.
I don't know whether any of you saw the Martin Ziegler piece about the current positions in the table. This is just applying to Premier League, by the way. So if you're a fan of EFL football or FAWSL, this is just applying to the Premier League. But given that you've started this off with Liverpool, Kate, I think it's quite relevant. And I don't know, that you can pick holes in it as you can with anything and any way that you try and do this. But what he did was look through all of the remaining fixtures, predicted outcomes of those matches of the way that you think that they would go. And remarkably, he said that he came to the conclusion that the table would finish exactly as it is now if all of those matches went ahead and you'd put the wins where you think they're going to happen. The problem with that is that we know in the Premier League that the smallest team, or certainly the bottom club, as Emma's known with Watford beating Liverpool recently, can spring a surprise. Yeah. So it isn't to say that that would have been straightforward, but if you're just doing an average and looking at it as a means test, it would say that the table would finish as it is right now.
I just don't think they can do it, Linz. I can understand why some people might think it's the sort of fairest thing to do if you're working on averages, but on the note of Watford, Nigel Pearson proved when he came in at Christmas that they had that spike in results where suddenly they'd gone from being 9 points clear of safety to just sort of teetering above the drop zone. So when you're looking at the run-in as well, you just get the most bonkers results every year, don't you? Sort of from this time through to the end of the season. So I just think there would be almighty uproar if they went for that approach.
And there would be so many legal cases that would be brought forward for teams that felt that they could have avoided relegation, to teams that felt that they should have been in Europe. There's the game in hand that Sheffield United have got at the moment when you're looking at those top 7 to 8 places. So I really do feel that there's so much that could actually be unresolved by not having a conclusion to the season in terms of all of those mini debates that would lead to many more discussions happening and legal ones as well. So yeah, I'm sure that is going to be the last thing that the Premier League or the EFL are going to want.
It's hard to say what's going to happen to this season. Plenty of upheaval and changes afoot, I'm sure. After the break, we'll pick up where we left off. This is The Offside Rule with Kate Borso, Lindsay Hooper and Emma Saunders. Time for chance card. In football, as in life, we all go through some time apart, don't we? A break. But the important thing is carrying on as if nothing has happened. But sometimes that's not always possible, is it? What do I mean? Well, perhaps when football takes a break, we are going to return to normality at some point. And over history, various teams and managers have done this, whether it's a manager returning to a team after a period of time, whether it's a team returning to a league, maybe. So, ladies, I'd like some examples from you of a team or a player or something in football picking up where it left off and what happened when they did such a thing. Lindsay, I'm going to go to you.
The one right now that springs to mind, just because it's so current, is Rangers Football Club, because they were one of the 11 founding members of the Scottish Football League. And everyone remembers in 2011-12, at the end of that season, they went into liquidation. A new corporate identity had to be found. Then they gained admittance into the fourth tier of Scottish football, and then proceeded three promotions in a row, back to back, back to the SPL, to the top flight in Scotland. Stephen Gerrard is now their manager there. And they're back. They're reigniting that battle with Celtic that they've always had over the history of time. And it is, for every single Scottish football fan, the best news, because you don't want one club just leading the way uninterrupted, but Rangers are there to be a disruptor once again. And it was a very similar story as well if you're a fan of Italian football. For Parma, they were in a similar position. The club folded, they got rescued, they returned to the top flight again with three successive promotions. So that's another example of another club around the world that had a similar story.
On that note, Linz, I guess Sheffield United isn't too dissimilar in that they were there for inception of the Premier League back in 1992. I think they lasted a couple of seasons before going down to the then Division One, which whilst they were in, it was changed, rebranded to the Championship. They had that one season where they poked their heads back up to the top flight, the Premier League, in 2006-2007, before then sinking back down into the Championship and down into League One, before the almighty Chris Wilder arrived, their rescuer, taking them up into the Championship and then, of course, into the Premier League this season, where they've hit some almighty heights. And they are, going back to that earlier conversation, just one of those teams that you're really rooting for when they're talking about how they're going to resolve this season, because who knows, they could well be in the Champions League.
Yeah, absolutely. Emma, this one applies to Nigel Pearson too, but not Watford, Leicester, in so far as a manager who's come back after a break for a second spell in charge. Talk about Jose Mourinho, Tony Pulis. His second spell in charge was much better, actually, when he was in charge of Stoke. But that generally, by and large, doesn't happen. The managers I'm thinking of are Kevin Keegan, his first time at Newcastle, 92-97. He nearly won the Premier League. Of course, the side squandered that 12-point league. But I think he still departed Newcastle a bit of a hero. He was welcomed back then over a decade later. He'd been in charge of, since leaving Newcastle, Fulham and England, the national team and Manchester City. But he only lasted 8 months in his second tenure at Newcastle. Didn't go well at all. He resigned over disagreements on signings with director of football Dennis Wise. And that's a great example of a manager who's so hero worshipped within a club that when he comes back for a second time, it's never going to be the same again. Much like Kenny Dalglish and Liverpool, he became player manager shortly after the Heysel disaster in 85. And of course, you know, we know how successful Liverpool were in that period, a League and Cup double in his first season. He won the title twice more again in 88-90. Then he returned 2011-2012. This is after Roy Hodgson had been sacked. A solid start helped to land him the job on a permanent basis. He was in on an interim, first of all, but it just did not go well at all. He was sacked after an eighth place finish in his only full season in charge. And there were lots of discussions at the time on how his tactical game hadn't moved on. The selection of players that he was working with wasn't great. I think Kenny Dalglish, he'll always be hero worshipped. And it's almost like that second time in charge of Liverpool didn't happen. If you ask a Liverpool fan, it didn't happen.
Just as you're talking about Kenny Dalglish, Kate, some good news whilst we're recording. Breaking news. English football season has been suspended until at least April the 30th. Okay. But this is the big point for Liverpool fans. The FA have announced that the 2019-20 season is going to be extended indefinitely, which would imply it's going to be finished at some point.
Wow, so they are going to finish it regardless of when. That is good news indeed. Emma, your reaction to that?
I have to say, on the whole, initially there was a little bit inside me which thought, thank goodness, as a Watford fan, I don't have to see this season out. But now I think we've got this far down the line, I just want football back. And, you know, I think we all want our jobs back on a match day. And that feeling, it makes you realise how much of my life football framed. Yeah. So even if it means absolutely scrapping at the bottom of the table, I have to say that's really good news. And actually, I have to say as well, in the back of my head, I did think that this would probably be the conclusion that they reached anyway, because the other thing, which bizarrely will probably go in the organisers' favours as they look forward and try to find a way to finish this season, is that we do have that Qatar Winter World Cup looming. So they could find a way to line up effectively the end of this season and starting a new season with a break that would line up with that Qatar Winter World Cup in a couple of years' time.
The thing worth noting is that football isn't going to be, though, how we've been used to watching it recently. So it isn't going to be your Saturday, Sunday, Monday night football. When it does come back, even that delay to the 30th of April, and that is being optimistic, means that when the fixtures do return, we're going to see everything clustered together. There is a suggestion that potentially the Champions League and Europa League could be played at weekends, and then using the weekdays in the summer, a little bit like a tournament, if we had have had the Euros, to complete the rest of the football season domestically. So it's still going to be iggledy-piggledy. It's still going to be difficult for us to get our heads around. But, you know, that's the line at the moment that we all have to go on.
Yeah, all right. Well, the teams, Premier League teams and league teams, will pick up then where they left off at some point. We don't know when, of course, because of this COVID-19 outbreak, but that line just in, the season will resume at some point until it reaches its conclusion. Next up, let's delve into the minds and the home lives of our treasured footballers and find out what they've been up to whilst they've been at home. Our last topic, community chess. Now, self-isolation isn't all it's cracked up to be, really, is it? But we can do things to make ourselves feel better and keep active. Many footballers have been taking this seriously, keeping their training regimes up at home. And you'll have seen Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and his girlfriend Perry from Little Mix doing their dancing stair routine. That has been a theme. But let's look at other footballers, whether they've been on the stairs or off them. How have they been keeping themselves entertained in these times of isolation? Emma, over to you.
I've got to kick off with this toilet paper challenge that is everywhere. Now, of course, Bog Roll is taking all the headlines. But fortunately, this is a much more positive piece of viral content that we're seeing go around. So it's this 10-touch challenge with toilet roll that a lot of professional footballers are taking on, and then tagging their relative teammates to allow them to challenge next. I haven't actually had a go yet. Have you, Lindsay, or Kate?
No,
I mean, no. I'm not yet. I should take inspiration. I think Marcus Rashford and Phil Foden did particularly well. I don't know how I feel about it, because people have been fighting over this stuff. I'm all for wanting to have a bit of a laugh and a joke, but there are serious levels to people having too much toilet roll. So thinking that you can just kick them about, I don't know. Am I being a bit too serious about it?
No, I think I agree too. I am a massive socialist at heart. And so, of course, I've been volunteering myself around the neighbourhood, which all of my friends are saying is typical me, because I can't stay. I mean, I'm just one of those people that cannot stay indoors. And I'm also seeing queues outside my local shops. I'm seeing old people on my road not be able to get. I mean, a friend of mine had to go to four different shops to get eggs for her neighbour yesterday. And luckily she had the time to do that. But when her kids are at home, she's not going to have that time. So yeah, I mean I would probably feel similar, Lindsay, in that do you know what, of all the things to mess around with, I probably wouldn't mess around with Leroy.
Kate, I know that you heard about my good deed for my elderly neighbour. I'm not sure that Emma's heard about it though, and how disastrously wrong it went. I decided, because I've got a very elderly neighbour on the one side, that I'd go and see if she needed anything from the shop, if I could do anything at all, if I could hand over my number. So if anything happened and she just needed somebody, she's got my number. She's got an elderly dog as well. And when she opened the door, the dog proceeded to mess all down the end of the corridor, into the porch, down the garden path.
She pooed, basically.
Must have been desperate. And I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to pick this up in a minute. But before I had a chance to even think about offering to help with that, the dog had escaped out the garden, had found a little hole under a bush and was going towards the main road. Now, it's very old and going quite slow, but I didn't want it to meet its death on the road in front of a car on this perilous day. So I decided to bolt it, of which I then trod in some of its mess as I was running down the road to rescue the dog, bring it back, clean up the mess and help. So I just thought, oh, is this how it's all going to start for me when I'm trying to help my local community?
Ultimately, only Lindsay Hooper can go and try and do a good deed and come back with dog poo all over her shoes.
Yeah. On that note of furry friends, there is a number of footballers that have either gone and bought puppies, bought dogs, or just putting up cute little videos, cute pictures with their pets at home. So Frankie de Jong, the Barcelona midfielder, has gone out and bought a puppy called, I think, Jagger. It's ever so cute anyway. And then Marcus Llorente, of course, single-handedly knocked Liverpool out of Europe last week. Sorry, Kate. Has also put up a little picture with his pug, which is ever so cute.
We all know Alexis Sanchez loves his dogs as well, don't we? Have you seen the pictures of him collecting timber with them?
Yeah.
I thought it was very Nicholas Bentner.
Some of them are weird because one of them is like him having a candle lit or like the lights are down low with those dogs and there's some romantic music playing, which I thought was slightly disturbing. Maria Torres Dottir as well, the Chelsea player, she put an Instagram post out with her dog Theo. Now, she was doing some training at home with those weight balls, sort of weighted balls, and she was doing lift-ups and stuff. But, of course, the dog sees a ball and just goes nuts. It keeps interrupting her, and it's quite a big dog as well, as she's trying to do it. Then she's using kind of a hand weight and sort of standing astride and you know, moving from side to side with the hand weight, and the dog can't get enough of that because it's kind of dangling down a bit. And in the end, she just picks up the dog and starts working out with the dog up and down, doing arm lifts, because she's like, do you know what? The dog's getting so involved, I might as well use it.
I would love to know if cats and dogs alike realise that we're all at home a lot more than we used to be.
Of course,
and what on earth they think is going on.
Well, they don't want it to end. They just want everyone at home.
Yeah.
You saw Sergio Ramos, I take it, ladies, on the treadmill. That was one of the first ones that sprang up.
Yes.
Everyone's keeping fit. They've got their Shkodran Mustafi as well, working out with his daughter on a bike.
Yeah.
There's loads of those ones of the fitness, but there is one king of this who hands down has just won Twitter. James Milner.
Yeah.
You can't get enough of this. He went in his garden with a ruler to try and pretend that he's going to cut it all to the same length in his boring James Milner style. And also was rationing out tea bags, because of course that'll be the next thing to get short on supplies.
I absolutely love that Insta post, because he's basically saying, hey, Alex Oxchambo, barrels of laugh here in the Milner household as well. Rationing tea bags for the week. Hashtag not got the moves to compete with Alex and Perry's
I wonder though, girls, because he's so self-deprecating, do you think it's actually him behind boring James Milner account?
I know. It wouldn't shock me, Linds. It wouldn't shock me.
Who knows? Who knows? To be continued. All right, I'm going to finish it off there on the topics. Any other business up next? All right, well, any other business is next up. And by the way, can I make a plea again? If you're at home, if you're in isolation and you want to make us a theme tune, Lindsay, we're still waiting for a good one, aren't we?
You're going to keep trying with this. Well, this is when people have got time, Kate. If we don't get one now, we never will.
Any other business for us? A little story is going on in the footballing landscape that might get missed during the week. Things that we want to point out. Lindsay, you've got one for me, have you?
Yeah, well, I wanted to appeal to people being at home, wanting something to do. This podcast has a theme of Monopoly somehow interjected in it. And I thought about reading as well, because it is a great time to sit down with a good book. I really want to put a plug out for this book in particular. It's called Raised a Warrior, One Woman's Soccer Odyssey. And this is written by Susie Petrocelli, who's the winner of the Vicky Orvis Prize for a book deal that was given with Women in Football. Floodlit Dreams are the publishing house. It's out, it's available now, and I think people should have a read of that if you can. I'm hearing great things. I've got my own copy on order, so we'll wait and see if I can get through it, or if the football resumes earlier than we think.
Very nice. So just remind us of the title, Linz.
It's called Raised a Warrior, One Woman's Soccer Odyssey.
Fab. I'm going to chip in here with actually a really cute picture. And I kind of say this half sort of jokingly, but there's a picture of Andy Murray and Scottish international. She plays for Manchester City as well. Caroline Weir doing the rounds. And that's because Caroline's joined his 77 sports management team. Murray said that he basically brought her on board because he was inspired ahead of last year's Women's World Cup, seeing the build up to the tournament and the hype around the women's game. But I really like this. He advised his team to scout out the best potential signings. And Weir, who is a two-time FA Cup winner, amongst other things with Manchester City, was their top choice. And so that's lovely. Both, of course, Scottish, and just really nice to see a partnership across different sports, I suppose.
Just finally then, Kate and Lynns, mine is actually away from football, though it's sticking in with the sort of sports media side of things. You have to check out the Twitter page of Nick Heath. So at Nick Heath Sports, he's a rugby commentator by trade. He's been making the most of his time social distancing, going around South London where he lives and basically commentating on your everyday. So there's one which he's done, which is women essentially just pushing their pushchairs through a park. Another one, a market stall. I think the funniest is commentary of these three people who have no idea, just crossing the road in Tooting.
Crossroad dash, light turns to red. We wait for the beats. There they are now then. JD Sportsman, he's got a decent start. Leggings on the outside. Oh, JD Sportsman's been distracted over the shoulder, and Leggings is going to get there. Oh, she does it again. Three titles in 3 days. Off past Vegas Gold for the lap of honour. Victorious.
And something to rival that, Clive Tildesley actually commentated on making lasagna. Listen to this.
Here's basil. Now pepper. Salt. Oh, garlic. Tomato puree.
I think I'd go Nick Heath over that one, Lynns, with the greatest respect. By the way, ladies, I found somewhere where you could potentially pick up some work if you could get out of the UK, which of course you can't. As we record this, league games in Turkey are still going ahead without fans present at stadiums. So it's either that or sending you over to Australia, isn't it, to try and report on some of the sport over there.
But there's no travel, so we can't do that. I'm going to suggest us picking fruit instead.
Well, that concludes our podcast for today. Thank you very much to Emma Saunders, who is in North London.
Thank you.
Lindsay Hooper in Surrey, and myself in South East London as well. It's been odd not being able to see you face to face, but I think we've done an okay job, and we'd love you as listeners. Keep in touch with us. Let us know how you're doing as well. We've got a lot of time on our hands at the moment, so if there's anything you want from us or you want to speak to us over Twitter, and do check out the website as well. Our writers are still going to be outputting content whilst they can. We'll be fixing up some interviews for them too, and that's at offsidewallpodcast.com. Our socials are at offsidewallpod. We will keep going. We're going to maintain some sense of normality here, but I think it's fair to say that we're sending our best to all our listeners as well, and hope that you guys are surviving okay. And Lindsay and Emma, this is normally the time when I ask you where you're going to next, but of course that's not
going
to happen.
Well, I'm going downstairs to pick up my 1,000-piece puzzle which has been delivered, so I'll have to let you know how I get on with that.
please tell me what this 1,000 puzzle piece is of.
Beers of the world. So, yes, I'll let you know.
Have you actually bought that for yourself?
It is, yeah, it's for myself. My quarantined flatmate certainly won't be helping me. But 1,000 pieces, is that a lot? I haven't done a puzzle in ages.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. 1,000 is pretty hard. We had 4 puzzles delivered yesterday, Emma, and they're 500-piece ones. And my other half is obsessed with Christmas, and they're all Christmas scenes. Oh, and this is how long it could be going on.
She must have got them reduced, Lindsay, surely.
Oh, I don't know, but they're under the coffee table.
Well, I'm going to be contemplating homeschooling my kids. I've not got very much patience, so expect me to be in somewhat of a more nervous state next week. Emma and Lindsay, thank you so much for joining me. All the best to everyone listening out there from the Offside Rule.
By the way, if you need me to teach Molly and Arthur French.
My kids are called Molly and Arthur, folks, and Lindsay is terrible at French, so I won't be taking you up on that. Thank you very much, Lindsay. Goodbye for now, folks.
Bye.
The Offside Rule is a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com.
listeners, I'm Caroline Barker, host of the Totally Football League show. I'm joined each week by Sam Parkins. Say hello, Sam.
Hi, Caroline.
By Adrian Clark. Say hello, Adrian.
Hello.
And a Bolton Wanderers fan too. Not Adrian, but Joe Cridley. Looking forward to League Two.
Yes.
Each week we go headfirst into the EFL to bring you the latest from the pitches to the next crisis to whatever Ian Holloway has said now. From Leeds to Luton, Sunderland to Plymouth, Swindon to Stevenage and everything in between. If it's the EFL you want, we've got you covered. Haven't we, Ollie?
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Your guess is as good as ours. That's the Totally Football League show, out every Wednesday.
In the most delightful way. It's brilliant. I just love it.
Muddy Knees Media.